So, Bible reading, and our Bible reading will be taken from the book of John chapter 14, verse 1 to 6. John chapter 14, verse 1 to 6. And it reads, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, and that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Then Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Truly, we're thankful to God for his manifold blessings and that he woke us up this morning, set us in our right mind, gave us the strength in our limbs that we could get up out of our beds and make it to this place. For many who could have been here or not here, you perhaps thought this morning that your alarm clock woke you up, but that's not true. Because many people's alarm clocks went off this morning and they did not wake up. It was God who woke you up through his grace and his mercy. For truly his love endures from everlasting to everlasting. And so we are indeed grateful. If you're visiting with us here at the Blessed Church of Christ, this morning we want to say welcome to you and invite and encourage you to come back as often as you can, and you will surely get a warm Christian welcome will await you here. We want you to be like the Bereans were in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, where the Bible says that these were more fair-minded and those in Thessalonica, that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to consider whether these things are so. This morning, I invite your kind attention to the Gospel of John chapter 14 and meet me at verse 1. There are a few who are not here this morning for various reasons. Sister Lorraine's mother-in-law will be traveling back to India today. We thank God for her presence here in England and pray that as she travels back that she will meet warm weather and hear that God will continue to watch over her and keep her safe, and that he might bring her back. If it be his will at the next appointed time. Sister Elizabeth, I believe, is traveling to see her new grandchild as well, and Sister Laverne is in Peterborough attending the latest retreat, which ends today. So we thank God for all of those and for those for his manifold blessing. John chapter 14 and verse 1. Many of you are familiar with this passage. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, where Jesus himself says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said in verse 5 to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It is from these passages that we extract the title of today's message, "Which Way Are You Going?" Which way are you going? There are many questions that we may ask in life, but one of the most important is the question, which way are you going? This question can be related to many areas of our life depending on the circumstances. For example, a husband and wife may ask a question, which way are we going in our marriage? Which way are we going in raising our children? Or in a general sense, which way are we going when driving a car? Thank you. And you know, when you're lost, sometimes it's hard for the man, amen, to ask for directions. Are you lost? Which way are we going? And so imagine, put yourself in this situation. Perhaps you've been there before. Imagine going to a place for the first time and you have to take the bus or the train to that place. And you get to the bus station or the train station, you may ask somebody the question, which way is the train or bus going to Manchester, for example? And perhaps you have found yourself in a situation where you've gotten on the bus or gotten on the train, you're not sure whether or not that's the right bus or the right train. You may ask somebody, is this train going to Manchester? And the person says, oh no, this is not the train to Manchester, this is the train to Liverpool. And you get that sinking feeling when the train, the bus is pulling out. And the truth, I'll tell you a true story. When I went to high school at the age of 16, was it 13 years old, had to go to high school for the first time and had to take the bus. And I lived in the city and I was not a person that traveled on the bus and got on this bus. I didn't know where this bus is going. And the whole way, my mind is racing. I hope I'm going in the right direction. And so that feeling, that sinking feeling, is the question that we need to ask ourselves. And for today, we want to explore the most important question, which way are you going in your soul salvation? Which way are you going in your soul salvation? If you don't know the joy of salvation, of your own salvation, as our dear sister Nina 3 weeks ago obeyed the gospel, it is my prayer that you consider the direction that you're going in saving your soul. So in the first point, we say that each of us may ask this question regarding our salvation. Which way are you going? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by or through me. Can someone come here? By me. Why? Because this question, which way are you going, is a probing question, and this question is also a personal question. This is because the way we go involves direction and determines destination. The way we go involves direction and will determine your destination. So, for example, we talked about a bus or a train or even a plane. When you buy a ticket, the ticket always includes a destination. The ticket always includes a destination. The bus driver doesn't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to take a different route. You want to know that this is the bus that will take you to your destination. And when it comes to your salvation, what will be your destination? That is what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 14. Because you must know your destination. And one of the questions I have asked myself and will continue to ask myself, which way is am I going with regard to my salvation? Which way is the church going regarding our salvation? Which way do you want to go in your salvation? Point number two, the way you go is important because any other way won't do. The way you go is important because any other way won't do. I know there are many ways to get to Manchester. You may take different routes. You can take a bus, you can take a train, you can take a car. But when it comes to heaven and salvation, the way you go is important because any other way won't do. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof of the ways of death. There is a way, but is it the way? Amen. You see, folks said, well, listen, if you want to get to Manchester, you take the I, whatever, and you can take this and you can take that, but is that the way? Because I want to know where we're going with this. And so, are you going a way or are you going the way? That's the question, church. Because there is a difference between the and a. Because let me give you an example. If you're trying to find the key to your car, when you were looking for the key to your car this morning, those of you who drove, among the other keys on your keychain, you might find a key, but have you found the key? You may be looking for, you may say, here's a key, baby, but that's not the key. And if that is the case for your car key, it has to be the same case for your salvation. And if you're trying to find the church, you read about your Bible, you may find a church in your local area, but have you found the church that Jesus built? It makes a difference. The sign outside says, the Church of Christ. That's not a name that's not a name, that is the name. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 16 says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. It is not a name, it is the name, because it is a church that Jesus built. This is the same question Nicodemus asked Jesus in John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God, or he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he said, well, can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb? See, he was thinking natural, but Jesus is talking spiritual. And the question on the table today is a spiritual question, and it is a personal question. You may find a church, but it is, if it isn't the church, you might find a way, or maybe going a way, but is it the way? You see, we can get so busy in life, and we can go on, we can start off on the path and end up on a path to destruction. You may be on the path of righteousness and then end up in the path, on a path that's going nowhere. And I would rather, church, follow someone who is going where I want to go and has gotten there successfully than to take my chances following somebody or something that's going nowhere. And so the question is, which way are you going? This was also the question Jesus answered to Thomas in John chapter 14 in the text. Jesus says, and if I go to prepare, look at verse 2, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. You've heard me say it before, I'll say it again, that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. What does that mean? You and I will not end up in heaven by mistake. You will not end up in heaven by chance. You're not just going to stumble in. Oh man, listen, where am I? I'm in heaven. He said, listen. And then verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. But there's a possibility that you can miss heaven. There's a possibility that you can miss heaven. This is what Thomas says in verse 5. Lord, we do not know where you're going. But I just told you, Thomas. I just told you to my Father's house. And how can we know the way? Not a way. The way. Jesus said to him, I am the way. If you're coming any other way, that's not the way. You can't get to Jesus through Mary. You can't get to Jesus through Allah. You can't get to Jesus through Mary Baker Eddy. You can't get to Jesus through Buddha. You can't get to Jesus through Hare Krishna. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through or by me. So, point number three. The way you go will ultimately lead to salvation or destruction. The way you go will ultimately lead to your salvation or to your destruction. Because sincerity is not enough. You can be sincere. We've got a lot of good, honest, sincere people worshiping or think they're worshiping God right now in so-called churches all over this country, all over the world, but are they going the way? How do I know that? Well, you're looking at me like you're interested. So turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, there was a man named Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. But notice what he was doing. Acts chapter 9. Verses 1 and 2. You'll be surprised what you'll find when you read your Bible. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. Verse 2, asked letters from him to the synagogues of the masses, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. What's significant about this verse 2? See, the church had already been established in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, and they were not being called Christians at this point in time in Acts chapter 9. Those who were following Jesus were called those of the way. How do I know that? Acts chapter 11 and verse number 26 says the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. They were not called Christians then. Here they were called those of the way. There was something distinctive about these people that Saul of Tarsus was trying to step up, because he said, listen, they are going away, but it's not the way that I believe, so I've got to drag them out of their homes. And he got permission to drag the disciples out who were called away. So church, which way are you going? It's a question. And to the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, there's one book over Acts chapter 8. And about verse number 26, we'll use him as a case study for our lesson today. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 26, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chair, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Now, who knew this man? This man was the chancellor of the exchequer, the minister of finance. He was in charge of the Ethiopian, the nation of Ethiopia's money. And he was a eunuch, and this man was unique because a eunuch, the scripture says the Old Testament, was cut off. He could not even go into the synagogue, but he had a copy of God's word. He had power, he had position, but he was still lost. You can have your Bible, you can be sincere, you can be praying, and then go nowhere. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 tells us that. And so, here he was, and so the Lord spoke to Philip, and he said, I've got a Bible study lined up for you. And so, Philip joined himself to this chariot, and the Bible says in Acts chapter 8, in verse number 29, the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. So Philip ran and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said to him, do you understand what you're reading? That's a good question. What's he saying? Do you know what you're, where are you going with this scripture? And we'll notice what he said. He said, how can I accept or unless someone guides me? In verse number 31, the Bible says the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's your assignment. As you are going your way, find some people who don't know Jesus and tell them about Jesus. And he asks Philip to come up and sit with him. You know what the interesting thing about this is? He was going along the road. He had the word of God, but he needed someone to guide him in the way. And the Bible says in verse 32, this place in the scripture which he was reading or read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before a shearer is silent, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So if the eunuch asked Philip and answered Philip and said, I ask of you, whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. What was he preaching? He was preaching the way to get to the way. Amen. Not a way, the way. The Bible says, now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? That's the question on the floor today. What hinders you from obeying the gospel today? Which way are you going? Because listen, if you meet death on the way home, if you meet death tonight, which way will you go? You know, we take a lot of chances in life. We buy car insurance just in case. We get health insurance just in case. We get medical insurance just in case. But what about your soul insurance? Just in case. And so the Bible says in verse 37, and Philip answered, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That was his public confession. So he commanded the chariot, verse 38, to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way with the way in the way, rejoicing. Which way are you going, church? You see, you can start off right and end up wrong. Isn't that right? How do we know that? Brother Doten quoted that part of that scripture. Listen, many will be disappointed when they reach their destination. Many will be disappointed when they reach their destination because they went a way and not the way. Which way are you going? How do I know that? Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, look what the Bible says. I'm not going to keep you long. One of the things I'm going to try to do more in my preaching is keep it simple. Keep it simple, make it plain. Let the book say what the book says, and I'll leave it at that. Matthew chapter 7, this is talking about judgment. Judgment. The whole chapter is about judgment. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13, Jesus says, enter into the narrow way, some translations say straight, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Just because everybody's doing it doesn't make it right. You hear that? But everybody's got an iPhone, but you don't know everybody. Amen. But everyone knows, you don't know everybody. Listen, broad is the gate that leads to destruction. Many, the Bible says, Jesus said that, will enter in by it. Because, look at verse number 14, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. Are you going the broad way, the wide way, or are you going the narrow way? Which leads to life, and there are few who find it. You know what few means? Few means more than two. Few means more than two. That means that the person that you're sitting next to may not make it. They may not make it. You ask the person that which way you go. Which way are you going? And then Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. What was Jesus talking about in John 14? He was talking about entrance into the kingdom. Listen, in order to find the way, you've got to get in the way. And when you get in the way, stay in the way. And stay out of the way. Amen. Shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many, just like in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, many will say to me in that day, that's judgment day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? That's a good thing. Cast out demons in your name? That's a good thing. And done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Listen. He might, on judgment day, the Lord is not going to care how many degrees you got. The Lord's not going to care how many folk you fed, how many Lord's Supper you ate. The Lord's not going to care how well you cook that your favorite dish. That's not going to matter. It's your soul salvation that's going to matter. Because you might have done a thing, but did you do the thing? You might have found a way, but did you find the way? And did you stay in the way? I asked a question today in November 2025. Where is this church going? Where are you going? Which way are you going? Which direction? And here's a question to our college students. I want to suggest to you. When you finish your degree, what will you do with that degree? With regard to the kingdom, how can you use that degree to bless the Lord's church? Have you considered that? Have you considered that? I never had the opportunity to go to college. Never had the opportunity. Because I couldn't afford it, my family couldn't afford it, but I'm still here. I have myself a bachelor's degree, though, by the grace of God in Bible study from Sunset. I thank God for that. But how can I use that learning to profit the kingdom in the way? That's the question. Maybe you might be thinking finance. I can devote my financial prowess to helping the Lord's church. Maybe you're doing some other degree, interior decorating, whatever. How can you use that to profit the way? That's the question. Because listen, the Bible says, Jesus says that few, will that include you? You get to choose whether you get in the way and stay in the way. And so just like the Ethiopian eunuch in our text, he found somebody. The Lord sent somebody. I want to read to you something. The following epitaph was written on a tomb, man passing by in the cemetery. He said, "Sup, my friend, may you pass by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be, to prepare for death and follow me." The passerby read those words, and underneath he scratched this response: "To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went." And so, church, listen, it's too late. It's too late at the cemetery to change your direction. But you and I have an opportunity. You can get so lost in this world. There have been times in my Christian life that I've lost my way. I've allowed the cares of this world and my own selfishness and sin to get me off of the path. But God always shows up in a sermon, in a Bible study. He'll send somebody to convict you to say, listen, You've got to get your life in order. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. What's that correction for? To get you back on the way. That's what the word of God, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished for every good work. If you're here this morning and you're not in the way, you must do 5 simple things. You must hear God's word, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I've given you book, chapter, and verse this morning. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you from your sins. That's number 2. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. That's God's will, but you can perish if you want to, but have everlasting life. You must repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, I tell you that unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Number 4, you must confess Jesus as Lord, Romans 10:9-10, with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then you must be baptized in water. We have a baptistry right here. Much water. For the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38, Mark 16:15 and 16, and many other passages of scripture. Baptism is what helps you to get in the way. And for those of us who are Christians, don't lose heaven. Don't miss heaven because you allow the cares of this world to distract you and get you off the beaten path to salvation, to a path that leads to destruction. We've already talked about that. You may need prayer. Brothers and sisters, I'm struggling. I don't know where to go. Let's talk to me. Let's have a conversation. You want to study God's word? If you want to have a Bible study, call me. Call one of the brothers. Listen, we will be willing and glad to sit down with you and go through God's word so that you can know how you can save your soul from a devil's hell. Because the Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for you. And if you end up in hell, you end up in there uninvited. Well, that's your choice. Salvation stands. If you're here this morning, you just want to give God thanks because he's a good God. He's a gracious God. But one day, God's grace will come to an end. One day, God's salvation invitation will no longer be. Work out your own salvation, for today is the day of salvation. That's our prayer. If you stand in need of the Lord's prayer, of the Lord's invitation, either of these 2 ways, we invite and encourage you to come as we stand and sing. Amen.